Born to broadcast, television news anchor, radio news anchor. This lady knows Lansing and is about to let you in on the latest. 1320 WILS presents Cheryl Fritz, your host for Fritz and Friends.
On this snowy Tuesday evening, 1320 WILS and streaming live on 1320WILS.com. Mark Price along with myself, Cheryl Fritz, here to get you through this Tuesday evening. We're going to go right out on the phone to my first guest, Pat Lindemann, who is the Ingham County Drain Commissioner. Good evening, Pat. How are you?
I'm well, Cheryl. How about you?
I'm doing very well. This is a story that's been in the news for a bit lately, and I wanted to have the chance to talk with you, Pat, and just try to push through some of the issues and figure out where we are now. It made a big splash in the paper over this last week, and that's the $10.3 million project. If you could just start with giving us a little bit of the backstory on the Cook-Thorburn Drain and the Cedar Lake watershed, I would appreciate that.
Sure. The drain itself in the watershed was established in 1883. And it handled a lot of rural area back then. Throughout the next 100 years or so, it evolved. There's an esker. It evolved into a larger drain and serviced more different kinds of land uses. There was some gravel activity that took place on an esker that the Cook and Thorburn Drain actually crossed. And eventually, by the 1960s into the 1980s, the gravel pit was dug, and it created a series of gravel pits, one of which was over a mile long. And the gravel pits were actually dug on top of the drain, which making them actually part of the drain. And in the year 2000, my office received a petition from Delhi Township to actually get prepared to rebuild Cedar Street in the coming next few years after that in the planning process. And one of the issues with Cedar Street is that it was under the floodplain. It was in the floodplain, part of it. So if we could get the drain dug down a little deeper and go under Cedar Street a little bit more with some depth, and they could build the road up a little bit, we could take Cedar Street out of the floodplain in preparation for rebuilding it in the next few years. So sometime in May of 04, after the project was built, there was almost a perfect storm of events that happened. The average rainfall in May, since we've been recording rainfall records in this area, is about 2.8 inches. Within about 20 days or so, we had over 10.7 inches of rain. And the lake, like most lakes, turned over. And this lake turned over, the same as any other lake did. And this is a gravel pit, which is kind of rich in iron and has a little different chemistry than most lakes. But the drain and the gravel pit, or the lake, is all man-made. I mean, it's all created, and they're all have these unique characteristics to them. And the lake just turned over. And subsequently to that, the DEQ had then filed a order of abatement and asked my office to undo the project that we did in 2003, and several lawsuits ensued thereafter, and I had to create this project and to do the best we can to mitigate the issue, and there you go. And then we just levied the assessment, and that's what you were reading about in the paper.
Exactly. So this the assessment comes after... I guess what one of the things that strikes me about what you just said, Pat, is that they asked me to the DEQ asked me to undo what I had done. What there was there something wrong with what you had done in the first place with the gravel pit?
Well, my original desire for getting Cedar Street out of the floodplain was to redig the old ditch, the 1883 ditch, and make it deeper. It was full of about 50 or 60 or 70 years worth of muck from farming activity, sediment from the road, and that kind of thing. I wanted to clean it out and create a really nice ecosystem going along the length of that ditch. The subsequent conversations we had with the DEQ representative, field representative that issues a permit, were that he didn't want us to do that, and that the only thing that would be permitted would be putting an additional outlet from the drain under Cedar Street with new culverts and dump it into the lake. And every piece of paper that I have that talking about our conversations with him, minutes from meetings and handwritten documents from that particular individual and everything indicated that their concern wasn't about putting water in the lake. In fact, they encouraged putting water in the lake, and that their concern was about actually modifying the 1883 drainage ditch and digging it out and making it deeper. That was what they were trying to avoid. And in fact, to that end, not only did they permit and go out of their way to get us to dump the water into Cedar Lake, they actually issued another permit in 2004 after the lake turned over and had this incident with that heavy rain to a 63.5-acre subdivision to dump all their stormwater in the lake. Mm-hmm. So I was a little confused as to what this whole thing was about. The lake has subsequently, on its own, cleaned itself up, which lakes often always do. Lakes do turn over, usually in the spring and the fall, and this one here just had so much rain that it created murky water and all of that. The sediment from the bottom of the lake went into suspension, and it looked like the lake was black, actually, for a few months.
Mm-hmm. Now, years of legal wrangling upped the price tag of the assessment that folks get now of people, you know, kind of pointing fingers back and forth. Is that an accurate statement?
Oh, sure. Yeah, there was 15 different lawsuits. Some people were suing me to stop the project. DEQ was suing me because they didn't think I was moving forward fast enough. Then there was others that wanted to profit from it and tried to get their assessments readjusted and so on. So there's all kinds of lawsuits, and trying to make your way through all of those different lawsuits was very difficult, and trying to understand everybody's motivation for it. The bottom line is that within that watershed, the downstream process of infrastructure that goes to the Sycamore Creek is quite, confining, and it doesn't allow this water to get out of the watershed very fast, and there actually has to be some storage in the lake. We actually have to store in that lake, it's a little over a mile long, we have to store 430 acre feet of water. It's 140 million gallons of water that we have to store in there. Well, the DEQ's order ordered me to put no water in the lake and undo the 2003 project. Well, none of that was acceptable. In order for me to undo the project and put no water in the lake would have created a problem in that I would have had to find some place to put that water. To recreate that much storage and to maybe put something like a Suez Canal all the way to the Grand River or down to the Sycamore Creek would have cost around $52 million. So the only alternative I had was to, in trying to comply with what the DEQ was looking for, was to build the project that we did, which I think is a pretty good project. I just think it shouldn't have had to happen. Half of the cost of the project was legal fees.
I was going to say, the goal of the project was to, what was, let me ask you that, what was the goal of the project?
Well, if we could reduce the flows in the upstream portion of the project, and polish the water as it was coming down, rebuilding the drain. And a fair amount of the drain had to be rebuilt anyway. But we could do that and rebuild it in a way that could slow down the flows and make the water migrate through the system slower. And when it got down to the gravel pit, it would be cleaned and polished. And we could handle, it would also reduce some of the flooding because we were monitoring and managing the flow of the water better. And that's really what the project does. And the project cost was around $4.5 million, which is not out of line, I think, for a project of that magnitude. The real expense came in with everybody trying to either push and shove and take advantage of the legal system to get their points across. And, I think that's very sad. I think that the public suffered. I mean, I can't tell you how absolutely upset I am about this whole project. Having to tax this. This was actually a levy that went through the probate court. Court ordered this levy, not me. I just think that this whole thing is a silly waste of money. We could rebuild this drain in a different way, understanding that the gravel pit was part of the drain all the time, And storing the storm water in the drain is a part of what has to happen. And we could have, you know, probably executed the same kind of a fix over the next 5 to 6 years, and I think done just as nice a job for a lot less money. But I just can't tell you how upset I am that the public out there has to pay these bills. I got one guy out there with a $100,000 assessment.
Yeah, when you read that in the paper, you can't help but think, oh, you know, what if I'd gotten that in the mail? You know, what would my reaction be? And as you said, this was court ordered. You had no control over this at this point.
That's right. I got, you know, it was sued in federal court. Dive Shop sued me in federal court. Had I lost that lawsuit, that was the price tag on that could have been as high as $110 million. Can you imagine? The district has to pay that. The district has to pay everything.
Mm-hmm.
So any cost that's incurred by defending itself, the district has to pay those bills, which meaning the citizens out there. There's no other pocket of money for it to come from. So instead of sitting down and working out these issues, all these lawsuits ensued, and that was the bulk of all of this. You know, we did our best to try to solve these problems without incurring all these costs, but it just spun way out of control.
Yeah, well, that is clear. I thank you, Pat, for speaking with us this evening and helping us understand a little better. At least I understand a little better on what occurred, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk with us this evening.
I'd like to make one other statement.
Certainly.
You know, we have so many problems out there. Do you know that in this country we have about 2 million miles of storm pipe running into 48 states? 80% of it is over 100 years old. The life of a concrete pipe is 60 to 80 years. This country is about one storm sewer pipe and sanitary pipe away from being a third world country if we don't fix these problems. Now, these problems should not cost this much money. If we put our heads together and work together cooperatively, then there's no way that that we can fall behind. But if we don't start solving our infrastructure problems in this country, we're going to be in bad shape. And this is just a perfect example of how not to do it.
Yeah, I was just going to say that's a fair warning from somebody who deals with this every day and knows the consequences of it. I thank you, Pat, for your time this evening.
Yeah, thank you, Cheryl. It's nice to talk to you.
You as well. I've been speaking with Pat Lindeman, Ingham County Drain Commissioner, and we'll be back with more Fritz and Friends after these messages.